This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Yehiyes Wuhib in Washington. Here's what's coming up on Africa News Tonight.
And in recent years, we've seen a variety of coups in Africa, sometimes executed by African forces that have been trained in the US, the UK, and France.
That was Jackie Sillé-Erce at the Institute for Security Studies in Pretoria, talking about defense issues as the United States prepares to open an Africa Security Conference. Details coming up. Also, South Africa's financial markets bounce back after the installation of a coalition government, and university athletes aim for Olympic glory. These stories and more on Africa News Tonight. We start with our top story. Defense chiefs from 30 African countries will gather in Botswana next week for a two-day military conference to discuss the continent's security and stability challenges. The meeting, organized by the United States Africa Command, or AFRICOM, will be the first held in Africa since the inaugural conference in 2017. From Habrone, Mokandisi Dube reports.
The U.S. Embassy in Habrone has issued a statement saying the United States will co-host a conference hosting top defense officials from across Africa in Botswana next week. Keynote speakers and panelists will include senior civilian and military officials, according to Lieutenant Commander Bobby Dixon, a spokesman at the United States Africa Command, or AFRICOM.
The aim to tackle the pressing security challenges on the African continent and to find ways to work together for a safer and more secure Africa. From counterterrorism efforts to cyber threats and peacekeeping missions, this conference will cover it all. It's a significant step towards a unified approach in safeguarding the African continent.
AFRICOM says the meeting will build on the success of previous conferences. Last year's meeting held in Rome, Italy, attracted the highest turnout with 43 countries in attendance. Political scientist Jackie Sillé-Erce at the Institute for Security Studies in Pretoria says
it's also evident that Africa faces a series of challenges, and it's not always clear that the model that the U.S. presents is appropriate for Africa. And in recent years, we've seen a variety of coups in Africa, sometimes executed by African forces that have been trained in the U.S., the U.K., and France. And it's also evident that a number of U.N. peacekeeping missions, such as that in the DR Congo and Mali, are withdrawing from Africa, while on the other hand, the role of Russia and the so-called Africa Group is expanding. So it's clear that Africa faces a security challenge and that partners can and should do as much as possible to help with that.
Sillé-Erce adds that there is a need for the Habrone conference to come up with effective solutions to the continent's security challenges.
Are we seeing a new model developing where African governments are considering alternative security arrangements, mostly by other African countries? And then, of course, the role of private companies is also increasing. So these events occur at a time of significant shifts in the global balance of power. And Africa is again an area of competition. One hopes that these issues will all be discussed at the upcoming conference in Gaborone, and that real solutions will come to the fore.
In March, following its Peace and Security Council meeting, the African Union expressed deep concern over the scourge of conflicts on the continent and their impact on socio-economic development. Kwandisi Dube, VOA News, Habrone, Botswana.
Congressman Dan Kildee represents the 8th District in the U.S. state of Michigan, and he serves on the Ways and Means Committee, the oldest and most powerful committee in the House of Representatives. Currently, he's on a visit to Africa. He was in Kenya yesterday, and just a short time ago, he spoke to me. Here's part of our conversation.
Well, this is my third trip to the continent, but it's really the first one that is specifically focused on our desire to reauthorize the African Growth and Opportunities Act. You know, it's the framework for U.S. trade with the developing nations on the continent. It expires at the end of the year, and we want to continue and improve the relationship. That's the technical purpose. But for me, this is really all about the U.S. well overdue taking a much more significant role on the continent of Africa, exercising more leadership, engaging in trade, being much more present than the United States has been. And I'm a very big advocate of that. AGOA is one mechanism for us to do so. But it's really, for me personally, as a member of Congress, a larger purpose. The U.S. must play a more significant role, must have a more significant presence on the continent.
We'll have more on Congressman Dan Kilday's interview next week. Kilday not only represents the 8th District in the U.S. state of Michigan, he's the cousin of VOA's own Heather Maxwell. An investigation began today in Kenya into police conduct during protests against the government plan to impose new taxes, according to the country's police watchdog. The chairperson of Kenya's independent policing oversight authority, Anne Makori, praised protesters for demonstrating peacefully. She also urged police to exercise restraint while noting the killing of a protester and injuries sustained by demonstrators and police officers. The Kenya Red Cross Society told the media, including the Associated Press, that 39 people were injured. Thousands of protesters on Thursday marched in the Kenyan capital Nairobi and other major cities and towns across the country. They demanded that legislators reject a finance bill that imposes new taxes. You're listening to Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America. And for more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For world news, check out voanews.com. South Africa's markets are rising in the wake of the formation of a new unity government. The rand currency strengthened this week to below 18 to the dollar, the first time it's been there in more than a year. And South African stocks rose after President Cyril Ramaphosa was inaugurated Wednesday for a second term. Darren Taylor reports.
Some economists and market analysts say the power-sharing agreement between the African National Congress and the Democratic Alliance made all the difference. The ANC dropped to 40% of the vote in last month's election and had to form a coalition government. It chose the business-friendly DA as its main alliance partner over two leftist parties that want to nationalize land, banks, and mineral wealth. The DA favors a free market. It aims to implement reforms it says will spark growth in an economy battered by electricity blackouts, water outages, road, port and railway decay, and high unemployment. Along with the rand's gains, in the past few days, the Johannesburg Stock Exchange has risen 5%, gaining back all the ground it lost right after the election. George Herman, an analyst at the Citadel Financial Group, says markets are responding very positively to the prospect of economic reform in South Africa.
It is interesting that the risk premium of the alternative scenarios that were possible prior to the elections, that the risk premium for that is now being expunged from the markets. That is very positive. It has led to a very positive sentiment in the rand and in South African bonds and in South African equities. Clearly, global investors who've been very negative on South Africa because of our low growth and our structural problems have now turned around in their view of South Africa. And in terms of all the global emerging market elections that we've seen, it seems like the one in South Africa has turned out the best and the most positive, and hence a good turnaround story from the markets in assessing the risk of South Africa.
JP Morgan is just one of several multinational finance companies predicting big flows of investment into Africa's most industrialized economy. Financial ratings company S&P Global says the ANC's partnership with the DA could drive reform, but also warns that vast ideological differences between the parties mean difficult days ahead. Top South African investment manager Kokkie Kooyman warns that the two parties left out of the coalition could disrupt that effort and hurt the economy. Right now, though, says Kooyman, global markets are celebrating the ANC's rejection of Umkhonto weSizwe and the economic freedom fighters.
The EFF MK option, if we go on that route, I would say 80% we go Zimbabwe from here. The probability still EFF and MK will do what they can to derail the process. But it's unlikely that we go back to an EFF coalition with the ANC. But, you know, South Africa is a funny place. A lot of things can happen, but that's really, at the moment, that's not the base case. So the base case is, you know, is very good in the current outlook for your financial sector.
Zimbabwe's economy collapsed in the early 2000s, partly because the government took control of private property, including land and mines. MK and the EFF argue that too much of South Africa's wealth remains in the hands of Western investors and white South Africans, and demand economic policy changes they say will benefit the poor. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
A tally by the French press agency AFP shows that the death toll from this year's Hajj has exceeded 1,000 by pilgrims in Saudi Arabia. Around 10 countries have reported 1,081 deaths during the pilgrimage, one of the five pillars of Islam that all Muslims with the means must complete at least once. An Arab diplomat told the AFP that 658 Egyptians died in the excessive heat, most of whom were unregistered pilgrims. Jordan's foreign ministry said Saudi authorities had granted 68 permits for Jordanian pilgrims to be buried in Mecca. 16 Jordanians remain missing and 22 are hospitalized, including 7 in critical condition. Voters in the U.S. presidential election are vulnerable to bad actors using artificial intelligence to create disinformation that benefits rival politicians or promotes the interests of foreign governments. VOA's Ivana Piedbroska looks at the use of artificial intelligence in election 2024 in this report narrated by Caroline Persuti.
Artificial intelligence has already made an appearance in this election, as in this computer-generated photo of Donald Trump hugging infectious disease expert Dr. Anthony Fauci, and this fake robocall of Joe Biden telling New Hampshire voters to skip their primary.
We'll need your help in electing Democrats up and down the ticket.
The timing of electoral deepfakes is what makes them so dangerous, says media expert Elaine Kmark of the Brookings Institution.
Even 24 hours before the election, someone puts out a deepfake or a piece of disinformation. It's really difficult. It's really difficult to fight back. And that could, in a close election, it could make the difference between winning and losing.
Rajul Gupta's firm Deep Media helps the Pentagon detect deepfakes, which he says are popular because they are inexpensive and easy to produce.
End to end, it takes about 15 minutes to create a deepfake. There are many free services online. If you want to pay for some of the better ones, a 30-second audio clip is maybe 2 cents.
Attorney and free speech advocate Ari Cohen.
There's been a lot of talk about Russia, but China also, especially as they are fighting in the AI arms race to try and jump ahead.
Cohen says the most sophisticated overseas operations aim to place a piece of political disinformation with influential Americans for them to pass on to others. The biggest U.S. tech firms and social media platforms have promised some voluntary self-regulation of AI in political campaigns, but no federal laws currently govern the practice. Attorney and free speech advocate Ari Cohen.
It's very, very difficult to regulate political speech in the United States. The First Amendment protects that core political speech very strongly, and for good reason. We don't want the government putting the hands on the scale of its finger on the scale of elections.
Gupta says much of that difficulty lies in distinguishing between something that is false and something that is a characterization of an issue with which one might not agree. So how are we to know when something is a political deepfake?
And the audio quality is bad? That is a hint that it could be AI generated. It might sound kind of silly or trivial, but actually just looking for those watermarks and being able to find those watermarks quickly in images, audio, and video can, again, filter out a lot. So if you're on a video call with someone and you think they're a deepfake, ask them to spin around in their chair. And if they don't, they might be a deepfake.
Cohen says AI can be used for good in politics. It can allow candidates to reach diaspora communities in their own languages. And it can give campaigns better insight into voter behavior so they can better tailor their messaging. For Ivana Pidborska in Washington, Carolyn Prasuti, VOA News.
A top Namibian court today struck down the African country's colonial era law criminalizing same-sex relationships. According to the French news agency AFP, the High Court in the capital Windhoek declared the crimes of sodomy and unnatural sexual offenses as unconstitutional and invalid in its ruling on the case brought by LGBTQ activists. The judgment overturns rarely enforced laws dating back to 1927, which Namibia inherited from the colonial era but maintained after gaining independence from South Africa in 1990. Rights groups are hailing the verdict as historic. While a handful of African countries have legalized same-sex relationships, South Africa remains the sole African nation that allows gay marriage legalized in 2006. And several countries, including Uganda and Ghana, have laws that ban same-sex relationships and impose harsh penalties. University students from across the United States recently wrapped the National Collegiate Athletic Association Division I Outdoor Track and Field Championships. The NCAA championships are known to birth Olympic champions, and this year, several student athletes turned in performances that make them contenders for the coming Olympics. Quite a few of the athletes are students from the African countries. As part of our coverage, looking ahead at the Olympics, VOA's Omolemo Kale talked to some of the African athletes participating in this year's tournament.
The most popular events in track and field are the sprints, the 100-meter and the 200-meter races. Very few humans can run 100 meters in under 11 seconds. Yet for college athletes and Olympians, this is what they practice for every week. Nigerian Kanya Sola Ajayi attends Auburn University in the southern U.S. state of Alabama. He runs the 60-meter and the 100-meter races and was crowned Men's Runner of the Year in what's known as the Southeastern Conference for University Sports. In the NCAA 100-meter championship final, Ajayi ran a 10.1 to finish in third place.
My plans from today is go back to my country for the national trials, like Olympic trials in Nigeria. Then, to compete there and see like how it goes. I'm just hoping for the best over there too, because Nigeria has a lot of fast guys. Like, I know it's not going to be easy there as well, but I believe in myself.
And at the Nigerian Olympic trials, Ajayi nabbed his first national 100-meter championship in Benin City, which put him in a good spot headed into the African Championships. Ajayi and his teammates set a school record of 38.03 when they won the 4x100-meter championships. Shekna Traore from the Ivory Coast set a standard in the NCAA East Region prelims before he won first place in the 200-meter championship. The Pennsylvania State University star was named the 2024 Men's Outdoor Track Athlete of the Year for the Big Ten University Sports Conference. That's a big jump in the U.S. collegiate sports since Traore began his U.S. sports career at Ramapo College in the eastern state of New Jersey, a much smaller school that competes in what the NCAA calls Division III, which is less competitive than Division I.
I think I have a great story, right? Just off the bat, I think I have an amazing story. Coming from Division III level, not being so good going into a Division III level, the things I've managed to accomplish at the Division III level and then going up to Division I level this year and winning, right? And I think it kind of just, it's, you know, I get messages from guys all the time, like, yo, you're an inspiration. And I'm just kind of thankful to be in that position, because it's like, I'm just out here running. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know I was even that to be yelling. So I'm super thankful.
Shekna will be making his way home to Ivory Coast to participate in the Olympic trials. Even though nothing is guaranteed in track and field, Shekna knows one thing for sure. He'll be giving it his all to make his country proud. For VOA News, I'm Omolemo Kale in Washington.
And in more sports coverage, I have our VOA sports analyst, Mokbil Yabaro, in the studio today. Welcome to Africa News Tonight, Mokbil.
Thanks for having me on the show, Yehez.
So, UEFA Euro 2024 has been electric. Talk to us about some of the highlights.
No, absolutely. UEFA European Championships 2024 has been an exciting, exciting tournament so far. We have some big, big countries that have high expectations, like the likes of England, the likes of Portugal, the likes of Spain, the home nation that is playing Germany as well. But I would say, interestingly enough, to me, some of the games that have been the most exciting have come from maybe not the favorites, right? If I look at first game that to me was super exciting was when Albania put up a really good fight against Italy. They scored first, but Italy came back 2-1. Albania has had this unfortunate luck of, you know, not being able to really capitalize on scoring first. They also went up 1-0 against Croatia, but then Croatia scored 2-1, but they were able to salvage that game by scoring the second one late as well. So they came out with a draw. The home nation, Germany, came out swinging at the very beginning with a 5-1 victory over Scotland. Spain also came out dominating 3-0 against Croatia. So those are some of the games that have been very big. A little disappointing for the English team in their second game against Denmark. They drew 1-1 after getting the lead early on, which kind of puts a question mark on, you know, their managing at the moment. So we'll see how it goes for the rest of the tournament for them.
So let's stay with football. Copa America 2024 is also going on, and Argentina wins their opening games against Canada 2-0. Are they the favorites?
At the moment, yes. Because they're coming off of that huge World Cup win, the group that they are in is a very, how should I say this, Argentina-friendly group. You know, so they went up against Canada in their first game. To me, this is the only other team in that group that looked like they should be able to put up a fight against them, and they beat them decisively 2-0. Even though Messi might not have had the greatest game, it just shows you that the quality of this Argentinian side is really there. Other teams that I'm looking at coming up, the U.S. has potential in this tournament. First game will be up against Bolivia on Sunday. And then Mexico and Jamaica, to me, is one of the biggest clashes that'll be happening tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern.
And finally, Mokbil, the Boston Celtics won their 18th NBA title. That is the most in NBA history. Can this team win again next year?
Yeah, so if you really look at the core dynamic of this young Boston Celtics team, they have already come to the NBA Finals a few times, coming up a bit short. But this time, I feel like what the upper management did for this team was to get the key pieces around them, around the two main players of this team, which is Jaylen Brown, the Finals MVP, and Jason Tatum, who was potentially going to be an MVP candidate this year. They got Drew Holiday, Derek White, Kristaps Porzingis, and the likes of those guys. If they can keep them, this looks like a team that can run it right back next year.
Good management makes a difference.
Absolutely.
And with that, thank you, Mokbil. And with that, we wrap up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehiyas Wuhib in Washington. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, David Van Dee, and our engineer, Tien Wong, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.